whistles exist to be blown. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Whistles exist to be blown. Sometimes it's a telephone. Sometimes it's a whistle. Sometimes it's a yodel. Sometimes it's singing. But whistles exist to be blown. Now, when I was a youngster, I used to whistle a lot, and I enjoyed it very much. I could whistle an entire piece of music from beginning to end, no matter how high or how low it was, and be in tune and just really enjoy it. And when I worked for my dad, who was a building contractor, and he built houses in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Wauwatosa, and so forth, as a kid, I was just a skinny runt, 14, 15, 16 years old, and being allowed to work for my dad and earn a living, earn money. Wow, I earned more than the rest of the guys at school. I did really well. But I loved to whistle. And so, as I was on the job, taking brick to the men and bringing them mortar in the hod and carrying away the trash and bringing all the sand and the mortar to mix into the mud and preparing everything beautifully and cleaning up afterwards and shoveling and scraping and throwing the bricks up to somebody on the top of the house so they could put them in the fireplace in the chimney up there. It was just really fantastic. I didn't know that I didn't have the strength to do that, because I just did it little by little, and the strength built up in me. And pretty soon, it was just really wonderful. And after a while, I was so infatuated with working for my dad and doing the work I did as a laborer on his construction jobs that I felt very honored to be there. And I was very honored. And so I would go around there strutting like a peacock and whistling and whistling and whistling. And the other guys would hear me whistling, and they didn't whistle because they believed that it wasn't a smart idea to whistle. They felt some people might not like their whistling. And so I'd go around whistling, and I would whistle and I would whistle. And I could see out of the corner of their eye how they were smiling at me, corner of my eye. And I looked at them, and they didn't know I was looking, really. But I could see them smiling and thinking, yeah, I remember when I was a kid, I used to whistle a lot, too. Because whistling is there to be done. The whistle exists to be blown. And whether it's the whistle of your mouth or the whistle of a whistle or whatever it is. All right, now, it's been some, 60, 70 years since I've done much whistling. And so because it's been so long, I have sort of gotten away from the whistling. But whistles are there to be blown. And so as I take my dog Rex around, I give a silly whistle. You know, it's nothing like what I used to do. But as I whistle, sometimes I keep whistling as I'm walking along, doing my meditation on our 3-mile path every morning. And as I'm whistling along, occasionally a good whistle will come out. And I'll say, wow, listen to that. Hey, Rex, you hear that? And Rex will look at me and says, what are you doing? And so I would whistle some more. And sometimes at the end of the day, I'd come home, and at the end of my walk, that is, I'd come back, and I'd be whistling up a storm, and my whistle would be clear, not necessarily perfect tones always, but it'd be clear and bright and cheery. Now, I'm going to keep it up. And if I can whistle, great. If the whistle in me has no longer existing, great. But I remember how, as the little kids would say to the bigger kids, hey, how come you go, teach me how to whistle too? And the bigger kids would laugh and say, ho, 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 this is some special to whistle, you know. You got to pucker up your mouth just right, and you got to bring the air through your mouth just right, and you got to do all these things just right, or else it doesn't mean a thing. Well, all the little kids, and I was one of them, we'd all go into our backyards, or we'd all go somewhere where nobody was hearing us, and we would whistle up a storm. We loved it when it was blowing windy outside, or when it was raining outside, or when it was something that, no, there's lots of noise, because nobody could hear us practicing our whistling. I would go up in the attic and I'd practice whistling, because somehow the sound didn't drop down from the attic to the bedrooms and down to the house. But I would practice my whistling up there. And the more I'd practice, the better I got. And pretty soon I got really good. But it's always a fun thing, because then one day at school, they had a play. And in the play, one of the actors had to be whistling a song. And I wasn't invited, but one of my buddies was invited, Tom Bardenwerper. He's a policeman in Wauwatosa now. Tom Bardenwerper. His dad was a medical doctor, and he was just a good kid. Well, Tom liked to sing, and he liked to do everything, and he just was quite talented. Well, he went to Miss Klockner, who was the head of the music, and he said, "I want to play that part." She says, "All right. Now, here's the song, and I want you to whistle." So she played it on the piano, and he whistled it note perfect. And beautiful, strong, powerful notes. Beautiful, melodious notes that had depth and meaning to them. And she said, "Tom, that is outstanding." And so she played it two or three more times for him, and each time he whistled it even a little better. And she says, "That will be great." He said, "Well, what about the rest of the part where I do the talking?" "Well, all right." So she gave him the script, and I was there waiting, because we were going to go home together. And I was there waiting, and I listened to him. And he read that script without any previous reading, with all of the imagination of the character that he was portraying. He made that character come alive, with even crying, with even anger, with even all sorts of emotional imagination. He was just good. He was just good. But just like the whistle is in us to be blown, so our talents are in us to be shown. And it's up to us, each one, to go out and blow our whistle, to show our talents. And if nobody appreciates them, go where no one hears it, and do it to yourself. Diogenes, who had a terrible list, and he wanted to be a great orator, a great speaker, but of course he couldn't, until he was told to go to the ocean and over the waves of the ocean to speak over the waves. But not only that, but to put a mouthful of round marble-sized stones in his mouth until his mouth is almost full, and talk over those marbles until he could talk over his marbles real strong and powerful. And when he took the marbles out of his mouth after each day's practice, he spoke with power and dynamics and magic. And he became one of the greatest orators of his time. One of the greatest legislators of his time. He was great because he could speak what he wanted to say, and he spoke with the pathos that was necessary to put across the point that he had in his mind. Well, he spoke because he really wanted to. You can whistle if you really want to. You can do anything if you really want to. But if you really want to, do it for yourself. And as Demosthenes did it for himself, as I did it for myself, and as Tom did it for himself, he was great. And I will never forget him. I will never forget him. And perhaps he's still out there whistling away. How about you? Are you ready to whistle? Because whistling exists to be blown? Well, go for it. That's what it's all about. Have a wonderful day, and remember, I got a long way to go, but I love the chirp. Join me, won't you? It's worth the practice. be yourself and have fun, and the whistle is there to be blown. Whistle. It's a lot of fun. I love you. I love you. I love you.